I love what Gail said. Vicki and I are involved in a team called Biblical Counseling of Arizona. And I had a gal come in and talk to me a couple days ago. And she said, I want you to know that what you do here is really different than normal counseling. She said, I've been to Christian counseling. And he never prayed with me. And he never went to the Bible to really address the needs that I had. And he goes, and those are two really big things. And so biblical counseling is different. There's certification in it. Gail has taken classes in it. Vicki has her master's degree in it. I am certified ACBC counselor. And so, yeah, we have a different focus. But I tell you another thing. So yesterday I met with an 18-year-old gal that I've been working with for a while. She has huge anxiety issues, just anxiety and panic has really overwhelmed her life. And so we've been working with months, and really God has met her in this. But it's time that she's ready to move on. She doesn't need me. This is a thing about biblical counseling. You're always wanting for that vertical relationship to be built up. Because the horizontal is a help, but that vertical is where you can stand, just like our last song. I stand in this. I stand in my relationship with Christ. But what you're doing in this, coming and talking about moving side by side in the church body that you have, what she said to me, this 18-year-old, she said, you know what, Kathy, I'm getting involved in our church ministry. She said, yes, I am the youngest woman there. Everybody has children and they're 30 or whatever. And she said, but I know that I'm going into a real strong character of people where they're going to hold me and they're going to help me. And so what you're doing here, side by side, walking alongside other people, is a blessing. So what Vicki and I do is we handle people in crisis, but you can't let somebody like that go. What you're doing here with pastors talk to people all the time in crisis situations. But what do they do after counseling is done? They come to places like this, come to your women's ministries, come to conferences like this. You are important. Huge. All right, so let's move on. We're going to be talking this morning in the very beginning of this with the foundation. I'm going to bring up the story of the gospel. Because like any good builder, God gives us this foundation to build on. Jesus Christ is the rock, right? We talk about him being the rock. And we have a foundation to build on. And if you're going to be a speaker in something like this, if we say we're going to, we better build that foundation really solidly. Because even though I might be preaching to the choir, there might be a few people out there who don't know this. So everybody else, choir, you get to just sit back and love it, all right? Just sit back and just take it all in, and here we go. So God is on a mission to reveal himself and his glory. We are the people of God invited into the story of God, and God uses many avenues to expose his story. Does that word sound familiar? His story. What does it sound like? History. History. Oh boy. But especially he uses the community of the local church, including your own King of Kings Presbyterian Church. Now Gail had mentioned to me that not everybody here is from King of Kings. So who is from other churches? Raise your hand. Whoa, how fun. Tell us where you're from. We'll start over here. Redeeming Grace. Awesome. Keep going. What else? Fellowship of Grace. A lot of grace. Lots of grace. We love the grace. So, and where? Church of the Resurrection. Of what? A Flagstaff. Whoa. Did you have a prize for somebody who's coming? Oh, okay. Yeah. We'll think about it. Yeah, she'll hook you up. Wow. What an honor that you're here. Yes. Northwest Community. Fabulous. Tell us. Desert Palms Presbyterian. Lifeway Church. West Valley Bible. Okay, come on. Come on. Anybody else? Any other churches? Woohoo! Isn't this exciting? Oh my goodness, how God touches our lives. And through a conference like this, this is, oh, we just pray you're blessed. So, we are going to start with the fundamentals. And we're going to build from there. So, the story of the gospel. Now, I'm going to take, you'll notice in this presentation, this first presentation, that I'm going to take the theme of kind of movie, story, play, drama. Okay, you're all right with that? All right. So one thing you need to know for sure is that I believe that all the stories in here, and this is my Bible, it's all beat up, and this is a new Bible, if you can believe it, they're true. They're true stories, they're fictional stories. This one is true. 66 books with 40 authors, one main author, right? Over what, 1,500 years? This is truth. But we're going to use the theme of movie, all right? And also, something else you need to know. I believe that we work best when we're interactive. I believe if it's a monologue, you're going to get bored and fall asleep. So you'll notice that Gail has already put together the table talk times. So after every section, you'll be going to your tables and talking about this. Is it right? Is what she's saying good? Be good Bereans, right? And also giving your own ideas of your own churches and interacting with each other. Are we ready? Put on your seatbelts. Let go. Let's go. So what is the story of the gospel? Now, the way you answer this question will tell the big picture of your life. Okay, so it's a story about you, or it's a story of God. Now, we all know, you're here at a Christian conference. You know the right answer. All right, here it is. Let me tell you this. The way I believe that many times we act, though, is right over here. All right, so here we go. This is a story about God. Now, does anybody know the book Crazy Love? Yes. Francis Chan? Good, good book. You can't hear. Come sit by me. He has a really good a way of explaining God's story. So this is it. Let's say that you're selected to be an extra in a movie. So you're an extra, right? You're one of hundreds of folks milling around in this scene of the movie. Now, you appear for about 2/5 of a second. In fact, the back of your head is really the only thing that is seen in this movie. However, you're in the movie. So you buy out, on opening night, you buy out the theater and you invite all your friends and family to come to see your starring role. Okay, you get it, right? But the movie that we're talking about, the Word of God, is unlike any other, quote, movie. There's only one lead role. The main character, the lead role, belongs to God. And He is the star. You and I are simply the 2/5 of a second that appear in this spectrum of time. See, until people understand the truth that God has one goal in mind for the creation of the world, then they're going to think it's all about themselves. And you and I can believe that, but we can fall into it real easily. So, God is on mission to reveal Himself and His glory. And that's what this is all about. But you and I are invited to enter into the story of God. So it's not about you. Me. So I asked you to pull out the handout. This is when you're going to pull it out. The story of God revealing himself in his glory. We're going to quickly go through this. Genesis to Revelation. From creation, you see this right here? Creation to restoration. Remember, we're talking the theme of a movie, right? You and I know this is not a movie. This is true life. But there are four parts: creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. You see that on there. The story begins with creation. In the beginning, God created all things. Adam and Eve submitted to God, and God, all that God asked of them. Their eyes were wide open, and truth reigned. The crown was on the rightful king. Now, then came the second one. What is it? The fall. That's Genesis 3. That's a pivotal part of the Word of God. You take out Genesis 3, what happens? Nothing else makes sense. Why? You put back in Genesis 3, and you find the entire Word of God makes sense. Because there was a fall. Because the rightful king, people thought that they were to put the crown on their head. And that's what happened. Adam and Eve sinned. They wrongly placed the crown of authority on their own head. They did not submit to a loving creator, and their eyes were blinded. Then we go to the next one. What's that? Redemption. All right. So God is on mission to reveal himself and his people. And no, reveal himself through his word and who he is. And I'll tell you that he uses all of this as his way of doing it. So he takes people like Abraham, Moses. Give me some names. Noah, David, who else? Ruth, Paul, John. Okay, we could go on. And he wants to bring about his story of the whole world, that this is a broken way to live. What you're doing is broken. So Moses takes the people out of slavery. Do you ever remember being in slavery? Got a new slavery to sin, got a new life. God had to show people himself. I mean, all of this, all of the Word of God represents and reveals to us what he's doing. Now, you know, look in the middle of the R on there. It's a cross. What's the climax? Climax of redemption history. Jesus Christ. His life, his death, his resurrection, he showed that he was the one true king, and the crown of authority that people thought were to be on their head was to be on God through his son, Jesus Christ. But this is it. So after Jesus' death, resurrection, Jesus gathers his followers and he begins to show them the whole story of the world. Hey, this is all part of the plan. I know you're sad. You know, I died and I've resurrected. But during those 40 days, he tells them the whole story. All right, this is good. You're on mission. Jesus took the penalty for sin on himself. Jesus defeated Satan. And Jesus redeemed his people from their slavery to sin. And he gave them their mission. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? And we're going to see that in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, because that's where we're going to go to. But the whole story, and we've got to go to this part too, is that, what's this? What's the last one?
Restoration.
So John, in the book of what?
Revelation.
The book of John, or excuse me, the book of Revelation, John reveals where one true King Jesus will return for one final battle and where he'll finally defeat Satan for good, lake of fire, all that. And John saw a picture of creation restored. Cool, huh? This is the whole plan. So you see why this glory is on the top. This is the whole overarching story. Do you get it? Do you see the whole story? Do you see that everybody in all of time, in all of the Word of God, in our time today, has a mission. And we are to be on mission because God has a mission, and it's to reveal himself in his glory. That's an amazing thing. But we're not there yet. Okay, so we're in redemption history. We're not yet to restoration, right? We're still alive. God has not changed the world. I loved the song. What is it? My Father's World. Which one was it? Where he's going to restore all things. Anyway, God is so good. God invites us in to join his story and put him on display through our changed lives. So creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Okay. But we're not in restoration. We're in the other part. So his mission for us, he's given us marching orders. Come to him in repentance and faith. Ladies, if any one of you doesn't know what I'm talking about, I don't care if you go to church or not. If you have not come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, and you've been kind of going to church, but you don't know what that means to give your life to Christ, today's the day. You talk to Gail, you talk to me, you talk to Vicky, talk to the person who brought you. Today is the day you walk out of here a new person. But we're going to go right now to Matthew. If you have your Bibles, and if you don't, that's okay, because guess what I do? Matthew chapter 19. Jesus is leaving. Everybody's crying. What in the world has gone on? You've just broken our hearts. We've left everything to follow you. Matthew 19. Hello, what am I saying? 28. So sorry. Thank you. Hello. Matthew 28, 19. He gives us the great what? What? Okay, I heard mission, but what was that first part? Co-mission. What does that mean, co-mission? Joining in. Awesome. You and I are to join in to this mission. So what's that verse? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What an amazing thing. Okay, so we're going to go, look on your outline. What are we to be doing? Oh, come on, you're stealing all my thunder. What? Okay, so go is one. Baptize. Okay, make disciples. There's another one. Teaching. Okay, we could probably add a lot more, but we're going to stop right there. So we've got down on your outlines, baptizing, teaching. What else? Sunday corporate worship. And discipleship. All right. So, baptizing, that's usually a pastoral thing, right? It's usually what happens, pastor baptizes, all right? And then teaching happens every day at Sunday corporate worship. I hope you're going to church each week. If you're not, it's a really good thing to do. But teaching, like through this, through women's conferences, through women's ministries, also coming along side by side people, helping us. But really what we're talking about is that one word that you said in the beginning, go. Go. Does that mean that I have to go to middle of Africa? No. You're not called to do that. Don't do it. Does that mean I have to go to South America? No. I can stay right where I am in my own little sphere of influence. And I can tell people, this is my go. Those are those marching orders. This is discipleship. This is side by side. This is connecting, reminding each other of God's goodness. Cool stuff. One more time to open your Bibles before Vicky comes up. Or before we go to table talk, right, Gail? Colossians 1:15. Colossians 1:15. So I'm going to bounce around here, so kind of follow me. I've got an ESV, so if You're just going to have to follow me. Okay, but I love to talk about Jesus, don't you? Is that the most beautiful word you've ever heard? Sounds like a song, doesn't it? He, who am I talking about? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, who am I talking about? All things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Who is that?
Jesus.
And he, Jesus, is therefore before all things. And in him, all things hold together. And he, come on, ladies,
Jesus,
is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Ah, is that exciting? And through him to reconcile to himself, Jesus, all things, whether on earth or heaven, making peace by the blood of his Jesus cross. Whoa. It's all about him. But next sentence. And you and me, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith. That's why we need each other, because we are prone to wander. I'm going to tell you about that in just a second. Because we are shifting, and we can throw ourselves away from the hope of the gospel that we've heard. But go on to the next part. Into about 127. Because God makes his mystery known, and he uses Paul to do this. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you. Exciting, ladies? This should make us jump up and down. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works in me. This is a moving passage. It reads kind of like a psalm, doesn't it? Jesus Christ is over all things, visible, invisible. Ladies, this is why we must tell the whole story, from creation to fall to redemption, back to restoration. I'm looking forward to restoration, but I'm not there yet. And neither are you. Because if we don't tell the whole story, we're going to wonder what in the world is going on. The thing is, we live in a world like the book of Judges, where everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Paul is focusing on maturity in Christ, and that's the mission. How are you to make disciples? How are you to go if you're not equipped, if you don't know what to do? You can come alongside somebody, but the goal is maturity in Christ. Maturity in Christ means clearing away the confusion, because just reading snippets of the Bible like people are taught, let's just read John 3:16. Okay, good. But I need to see, I don't get this. It's a confusing world. Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. But discipleship is about maturing in Christ. The Bible is of prime importance. You and I need to be spending a lot of time in it, because you and I can be pulled away so quickly. You sing a lot of hymns. Remember the hymn written by Robinson in 1758. Still true to this day and true about yours truly. Come thou fount of every blessing. Remember that? Okay, what, fourth stanza? Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I love him. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. We're prone to wander. But we love this God, right? Story about you, story about God. It's about God. But I'm prone to wander. Seal it, God. Seal it, God. I pray that every day. But I'm falling. So we need, the marching orders are maturity in Christ. We need each other. We need to come along side by side. Have I given you a reason to be connected? Is this God's mission? In this book, it's a great book called Awe, Why It Matters for Everything We Think, Say, and Do, is by Paul Tripp. He tells us a few things. We have hearts that are prone to have awe in something. Awe. We are awe magnets. We're looking for, a 16-year-old kid is looking at those Air Jordans, those shoes. The young mommy is looking for that new cute little dress for her baby. You have been called to a high position of making the invisible glory of God visible to people who quickly lose sight of God's glory and to begin to look for glories elsewhere. Their awe is prone to go away from God. How about this? We have blind amnesia. I love God, but I'm prone to wander. Self-centeredness. Sound familiar? Entitlement. Discontent. Relational dysfunction. Control. Fear. Anger. Envy. Drivenness. Exhaustion. Doubt. Spiritual coldness. Ladies, we are prone to wander. We need each other. Maturity in Christ. And how do we do that? That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So, if it's a chore, I don't want to do it. If it's a duty, I don't want to do it. If it's a have to, I have enough stuff. How do we make this sweet? How do we make this fun? How do we make this exciting? That's what we're going to be talking about at our tables. So, how do I make this sweet? So, ladies, our table talk time, our table talk ladies have. How do you get to know someone? Could you link up with another one for discipleship? What are your ideas on a casual setting, formal setting, informal? What do you do when you meet? Are you coming up here right now?
Sure.
Okay. Okay. And Gail will end this session.
I will end.